From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Julia Stelter in Sioux Falls. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, and here are today's stories. The candidate who had the most votes in the GOP primary election for governor is walking back rhetoric on a policy to impose fees around the state's trust industry, Jackson Dirks reports.
South Dakota is one of the premier trust jurisdictions, not only in the United States, but in the entire world. As of May, South Dakota Trust held over $900 billion in assets. With dollar amounts that high, Aberdeen businessman Toby Doden once touted the industry was an external revenue he was looking at to phase out property taxes. It was one of the few new revenue sources, he told SDPB's Lori Walsh in an interview last July.
South Dakota is the friendliest place for the richest people in the world to park their money. We have the most money sitting in blind trusts of any state in the country. You know who number two is? Nevada. Why does people like J.B. Pritzker, the very, very liberal governor of Illinois, why does his family park their billions of dollars in South Dakota trusts? Because we charge next to nothing for them to do that. If we just raised our fees to be tied for the lowest in the country, we would generate massive amounts of money. I'm talking tens of millions of dollars.
Doden also mentioned charging a small fee like every other state does in an interview with South Dakota Searchlight earlier this year. This stands in stark contrast to remarks made by Doden on the Dakota Town Hall podcast last week. When asked if he's planning to create a luxury tax or tax on trusts, Doden called bringing in big banks and trusts the best thing that happened to South Dakota. He responded to Brad Jurgensen saying he thought Doden wanted to tax trusts.
Dusty Johnson told people that, and he had all the rich people in this state.
I'm broke as
Toby
man.
Toby has trusts. Okay, Toby doesn't own hardly anything anymore. So when they say, oh, Toby's company did this, Toby doesn't even own anything anymore. Toby has trust. Why would I get rid of trust? Trusts are one of the greatest things for South Dakotans. They protect the assets of people that worked their butts off for 30 years, right? No, it's absurd. Stop talking about trust.
SDPB reached out to Doden's campaign manager to ask about the change in policy and to clarify other questions. Doden's campaign manager didn't respond to the request. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Firefighters are again reminding about the current fire risks in the Black Hills after a close call this weekend. The Johnson Siding Volunteer Fire Department says crews responded to an illegal campfire Sunday at Falling Rock. The campsite was abandoned, but a campfire was left smoldering. The department posted on social media pleading for people to make better decisions. The post said, quote, "What can we do to communicate to the public just how extreme the fire danger is in and around the Black Hills right now? They say while nothing came from this incident, it's exactly the type of scenario that leads to wildfires." Two candidates approached the finish line of the Republican primary runoff for governor. As the largest party in the state, their platforms could shape the coming years of South Dakota's political landscape. CJ Keene has more from one candidate.
Governor Larry Roden may have entered the race with some recognition as an incumbent, but his road to the runoff was as challenging as any other candidate's. Property taxes have dominated the primary cycle, and Roden says with steps already taken, the matter's on the road to resolution.
A large amount of it's a waiting game. Although, I'll say this, when we had the vote to get that passed in the legislature, I was already getting pushback from some of the Sioux Falls legislators, and because their tax bill had already started dropping. And they thought, well, are we looking for a solution to a problem that's righting itself?
The legislature passed a pair of property tax packages, one of which was backed by the governor's office, that the Roden camp describes as the largest property tax cut in state history. Roden's opponent, Aberdeen business owner Toby Doden, argues a chronic government waste problem is contributing to rising costs of living in the state. Doden has proposed a state-level program like the now-defunct Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Roden, on the other hand, contends government is effectively doing just that already. Doden says his plan to phase out property taxes completely can be achieved via a two-pronged approach that cuts government inefficiencies while also finding new sources of revenue.
We can talk about external revenue. We can talk about cutting state spending. But if we don't have a strong, robust economy, none of it's going to work, right? And so I'm going to bring 30 years of real-world private sector experience as a CEO into the governor's office, and I am going to start very quickly growing and expanding our economy.
This audio was taken from SDPB's Candidate Conversations. You can find that full show on SDPB's YouTube page. You can also listen to it as a podcast on the Dakota Political Junkies podcast feed. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Gas prices are taking a big jump across South Dakota. The state's average price for a gallon rose 18 cents to $3.82. That's according to the latest report from Gas Buddy. Prices haven't quite reached what they hit in the spring, when the state's average exceeded $4, but we're sitting almost a dollar higher than this time last summer. Gas Buddy analysts say prices are likely to continue to rise in the short term. They say while the ongoing U.S.-Iran situation is weighing on the market, other factors, like global refining capacity, are also playing a role. The state's chief budget official says reversions in the state budget are expected, Jackson Dirks reports.
South Dakota ended fiscal year 2026 with a $69 million budget surplus. $30 million of that is due to the state bringing in more revenue than lawmakers projected when they set estimates. The remaining $39 million came from state agencies not spending money allocated within their budgets. The largest chunk of that came from the Department of Social Services. DSS reversions came from lower than anticipated utilization and cost in medical services and children's services. Some of it's also due to staff shortages and vacancies. Jim Terwilliger is the commissioner of the Bureau of Finance Management. He says DSS is hard to project budget-wise because it's dealing with claims.
The last thing we want to do is get to the end of the fiscal year on July 15th, and we're $3 or $4 or $5 or $10 million short. So there's only two coins, sides of the coin. You either have enough funds to get you through, or you're going to be short. And so from my perspective, we should expect, if we're doing, following our budget principles, that we should revert $20, $25, $30 million from DSS every year.
Rapid City Republican Senator Taffy Howard says that the state shouldn't want more utilization and instead should celebrate less utilization.
I mean, the reminder is these are all welfare services, so lower utilization should be a cause to celebrate. And I hope we aren't looking for ways to increase utilization just because we happen to have some reversions.
Pine Ridge Democrat Senator Red Dawn Foster commented as well.
I completely agree, but I think that the services that we do provide, we want to make sure that there's a pathway to self-sufficiency and not just attrition to where we keep people either not treated and just at a lower income. So what's the best balance to find a pathway to self-sufficiency in a healthier community?
Foster also made the point that low reimbursement rates could be driving the issue, saying if the state isn't reimbursing or paying enough for these services, they're not going to be utilized, which then creates a harm for the community. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Three South Dakota students are being recognized as winners of a national student art contest. The Freedom 250 Student Art Contest selected one elementary, middle, and high school winner from each state. Their artwork was centered around America's history and judged based on originality and an artist's statement. The students were then honored at an awards ceremony in Washington, D.C. The three South Dakota winners are Roselle Grabitsky of Pierre, Jessa Van Zee of Platt, and Daniel Grabitsky of Watertown. You can see their artwork at sdpb.org/news. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at sdpbnews and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thank you for listening.